Today we continue with week three of our series through the book of Proverbs. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 15? We will be looking at an incredible chapter that is full of so much insight for us. If you have been reading along with us, you may have already read this chapter today. Today is the day we are assigned chapter 15. If not, you may be planning to do it this afternoon. You may have been following along on Facebook or our website or the Realm app to listen to someone read it and us participate with them. Whatever the case may be, we will look together now. I believe, though, it would be worth our time for us to look at the entire chapter in reading. We'll only pick out a few verses to talk about, but let's read chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, you follow along. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. Verse 10, there is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? Verse 12, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. Verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Verse 19, the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Verse 24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. The Lord tears down the house of the prayer, of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. Verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Verse 32, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. And the last verse, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. There is so much useful truth here. It's really hard to know where to begin in this. I want us just to examine just a few verses, not many this morning, and see how they might apply to our lives. Go back to verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you are here today and you have ever found yourself in a moment of contention with someone, that verse is for you. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you have ever found yourself in a squabble with your spouse, that verse is for you. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you have ever found yourself tired, irritable, and operating with a short fuse, this is where the wife pokes the husband, just like that. So if you know who it is, this verse is for you. I have to tell you, one of our newest deacons has offered some wisdom that I really appreciated. When he was going through his deacon ordination council process, where we were asking him questions, he gave this piece of what I thought was pretty good advice to all of the men in that time. And this is what Jason Windsor, are you here today, Jason? I know you're here. He is here. I've seen him already, so he may be taking money to, are you here? Gone to the bank. Well, that's a good thing, so. We send the big, mean-looking guys to take the money to the bank, so that's a good thing. So Jason gave a piece of advice, and he said this. He would contend that if you ever have an argument with your spouse, that he would encourage you to stop, open your freezer, get out a big tub of ice cream. Both of you get a big bowl of ice cream and eat it. And he contends that it is impossible to eat ice cream and remain angry. And I think that's pretty good advice. I'm betting, Penny, you've got to eat a lot of ice cream with Jason's, what I'm thinking. But anyway, it's the truth. Now listen, some of y'all are going to need a whole freezer at your house full of ice cream. But I would say that's good advice there. How can you do something so enjoyable and argue it doesn't happen? Well, I would say it is equally hard to argue with someone who consistently answers you with gentleness. If you want to argue with someone and they consistently respond gently, it is difficult to stoke and to keep that argument going. Let me give you a scriptural example. Judges, if you keep your hand here in Proverbs 15 and move quickly to the left to Judges chapter 8. In Judges chapter 8, we get an example of the Ephraimites. They were angry when they had realized they were not included in the raid on the Midianites by Gideon. That's a lot of Idians and ites there. So let me say it again. The Ephraimites became angry with Gideon when they were not included on the raid against Midian. They were upset that they were left out. Why were they not included as well? And look at how Gideon's gentle answer changed and diffused the situation. It says this in Judges chapter 8, verse 1. Then the men of Ephraim said to him, "What is this that you have done to us, not to call us when you went to fight against Midian?" And they accused him fiercely, it says. Verse 2, and he said to them, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the grapes of the harvest of Abiezer? God has given into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeeb. What have I been able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger against him subsided when he said this. Gideon knew that if he could be gentle with his response and humble with his response, that he could diffuse what could have turned into a very difficult political and social situation with another tribe of Israel. And so he says, "We are nothing compared to what you have been able to do." And in humility, he says, "You have achieved far greater. Don't be angry with us." So what I want to do today is I want to give you three proverb principles you can write down, things you can take home and try to apply. And the first one comes from right here, what we see in Judges 8. It comes from what we read right here at the beginning of chapter 15. So here's the principle. Kindness produces kindness. Anger produces anger. That may seem oversimplified, but I promise you, if we would live this principle, it would change what happens in your life and mine. Kindness produces kindness. Anger produces anger. Kind responses produce kindness. Angry responses produce anger. Kind reactions produce kindness. Angry reactions produce anger. Here's a few verses to back that up. You won't have time to turn to these. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So here's what I would say to you today, and you'll know this to be true. Your mother probably gave you this advice. If you can say it with kindness or you can say it harshly, always choose kindness. If you can say it with kindness or you can say it harshly, always choose kindness. The next Proverbs principle we'll see comes from verse 2 of chapter 15. So back to Proverbs 15. We'll look at verse 2, verse 4, and verse 7. And here's what they say. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. That's verse 2. Verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. That's verse 4. Verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. Not so the hearts of fools. What does that mean? It means your mouth matters. What you say and how you say it matter greatly. Your language matters. There's a story that I read, and I thought it was pretty good, of a little boy who was selling a lawnmower to a preacher. And so he's selling this lawnmower to the preacher, and the preacher says, well, does it run? He says, sure, it runs fine. He says, well, do you mind? The preacher says to the little boy, do you mind if I try to crank it to be sure? He says, go right ahead. So the preacher starts cranking and cranking and cranking and cranking, pulling, 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 pulling. Nothing's happening. He chokes it. He pulls, he pulls, he pulls. He takes time to prime it. Nothing's happening. He pulls, he pulls, he pulls. And finally, the little boy says to him, preacher, you got to cuss it to get it to work. And the preacher says, I haven't said a cuss word in 18 years. I'm not going to do it now. He says, you keep pulling. It'll come back to you, preacher, is what he told him. Well, I thought that was a great story because some of us have lived that story. What I would say is our language, our mouth, what goes in, what comes out matters. It matters greatly. You might resemble a little of that story. Now, I can tell you, I'm going to confess to you, I do not have a problem with foul language. I don't. I have not for years. It's just not been a struggle for me. I don't. But I do have a problem sometimes with being harsh. It may not come out as a cuss word. You're not going to hear it. But it can come out as being harsh. Can I confess to you this morning? That is never a problem with my friends. It's never a problem with the Faith Family Church. I'll be honest, it's not really ever a problem with my wife. I think I can stand pretty solid in saying that, and she would agree. That's just not the case. My biggest temptation to be harsh is with my children. It's with my sons. The very ones that I love the most, the very ones that I invest the majority of my resources, that I'm spending my time working to provide for them, the ones who need my attention, the ones that I want to succeed. No offense, but I want them to succeed more than I want you to succeed. I think you understand that, don't you, parents? Not that I don't want you to succeed, but I'm for my kids. And the very ones that I ought to be the most careful with are the ones that I can be the most harsh with. Somehow the enemy has convinced me that they're the ones I can unload on from time to time. Well, here's what I know. When all is said and done, how I live for you matters, but how I live for them matters more. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. They get to see me at my best and at my worst. And here's what I want from the book of Proverbs. I want my worst to come around less and less by the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word at work in me. So I want to be able to claim this second Proverbs principle from chapter 15, and that is this: your mouth matters. What we say and how we say it matters. You may say, yes, Chris, but in the heat of the moment, I struggle to control my mouth. No, you really can. You say, oh no, once it's bad, it's just bad. I can't control the anger. I can't control how it comes out. Yes, you can. I'll prove it to you. You've all been in this scenario before. You're having a strong disagreement, an argument, a fuss. You're feeling bad. You're sounding angry. You're promising to jerk a knot in someone or nip it in the bud or whatever vernacular you use at your home. And you have a come to Jesus meeting, whatever you call it. Go Old Testament on them. Whatever you say, you've got some language you're using and you're feeling the anger come deep inside of you and you're feeling it. And your cell phone rings and you look and see who it is. It's an important person. So you answer and you say, hey, how you doing? You swap just like that. You've done it. You've seen someone do it. So don't say you can't. What I would say to you is this, the same thing I would say to me. We can control our mouths. We can. God has given us the ability to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you and me. We can do it. And so I want to encourage you, the same for me. The first principle, kindness produces kindness. Anger produces anger. The second, our mouth matters. Look more at chapter 15, verse 5. It says, a fool despises his father's instructions, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like correction. I really don't, but I know I need it. We all do. So I would encourage you, let the Proverbs of Almighty God do delicate surgery in your life, in your heart this month. These are powerful words that we are reciting and reading and studying together for these 31 days. They can do, by the power of the Spirit, delicate surgery in us if we allow them to. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says this, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. Now skip to verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. What does that say? The sacrifice of the wicked is not honoring to the Lord. The way of the wicked is not honoring to the Lord. And the thoughts of the wicked are not honoring to the Lord. What I would remind you and me of today is this, that going through the motions has never pleased God. A wicked person can take the motions of being righteous in their sacrifice and how they act and how they respond, but that has never, not once in the scripture, pleased God. Worship, corporate worship, what we do here, our faith family, how we're a part of it, all of that is more than just outward acts. It is obedience of the heart. So here's a proverb principle that we as faith family members need to remember, and that is this, an impure heart always trumps acts of worship. An impure heart always trumps acts of worship. What I'm saying is this, you can attend church, you can give, you can show up in the worship service all you want, but if all you've got is anger boiling inside of you and you're constantly looking at something around you, thinking you're mad about this, angry about that, upset with this, critical of this, wanting this to change, needing this to change, I would promise you that your impure heart is trumping your physical acts of worship. The scripture is clear that God is not pleased by that. So what I would encourage you to do and myself is to ask God to transform our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and by his perfect word. Proverbs is a great place for transformation. But here's a hint. It will not happen through osmosis. You're really going to have to read it for yourself. It's not enough just to have a copy of God's word. There is so much more wisdom here in chapter 15. It talks about greed. It talks about contentment. It talks about laughter, perspective, so much more. You could spend weeks in this one chapter trying to figure out how to let the words and truth there transform who you are and how we live and how we act. But I simply want to challenge you today with these little three principles. Here they are again. How do you apply them to your life? Kindness produces kindness. Anger produces anger. Is there someone in your life that your natural response is to be harsh? Is there someone in your life that your natural response is to be negative to start with? If that's the case, I would encourage you this next week to have a holy experiment and instead let kindness become your unnatural response for a week. You'll have to remind yourself to do it because if you're like me, you may have built up a habit of doing it a different way. Work on being kind with your responses and how we say things and what we do. Secondly, be reminded that your mouth matters. The level at which we speak something, whether it be vulgar language, cursing, whether it be mean-spirited thoughts or whether it just be the tone in which we say it, our mouth matters. Think about who you struggle with that the most. Is there a place where your fuse is short in the workplace, in the home place, at school, in the neighborhood, on the ball field? Where is it that you struggle? And if you struggle, I would encourage you to know that Proverbs has so many scriptures in chapter 15 to remind us the mouth matters. It matters to God. So if we want to be considered not an abomination to him, we need to make sure that we are not being harsh, that we are being careful in how we say and what we say. So I would encourage you, find that one person, that one situation you struggle in, and make a renewed commitment that this week you will take what might seem like an unnatural response to start with. How about a supernatural response to learn to control our mouths? And then lastly, that third Proverbs principle is this: an impure heart always trumps acts of worship. If you have found yourself over the last few months, weeks, maybe even years, where you know that there's impurity in your life, but you still consistently come to church regular, week in, week out, you give, you sit in Bible study, you participate, you serve in some way, but there's still that major area of impurity that you know that no one else knows about, or you think no one else knows about, what I would encourage you to do is stop and realize this. And friends, I have been there, and so I can gladly confess it today to you that you've not fooled the Lord. The good news is he knows your heart. The good news is he accepts repentance. The bad news is if we keep trying to portray the lie, he says it's an abomination unto him. He does not receive that worship. Say, so what are you saying? I'm saying you're wasting your time giving that money. You're wasting your time coming to church. You're wasting your time surfing. Because the truth is those are not acts of worship to him if the impurity remains in a strong fashion and we intend to hide it. That does not mean only come here, only give, only serve if you're perfect. If that were the case, our crowd's going to thin by a large amount. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, though, that motive matters, and what is done in our lives and in our hearts matter. And so I, for one, want to make a renewed commitment to do four things. These are the things I will ask you to do. First of all, recognize. Recognize which one of these principles you need to work on. Second, repent. Repent because you need to work on that. Third, get practical. Form a plan of how that needs to happen. Fourth, realize that an impure heart always trumps it, so you want to make a plan how to not be impure. To live that out, recognize, repent, get practical, make a plan, live it out. I told you that one of the things I struggle with is being harsh with my three sons whom I love dearly. And it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes it goes very well, but sometimes I can just be harsh in what I say. So I think it's ironic that the Lord is now about to, as soon as this worship service is over, we're going to load up in the car and travel 5 hours together in the car alone. God says, okay, big preacher boy, show me what you got. And so I'm going to ask you to pray. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be great. We're taking a little trip together. But the truth is, I want to be present in the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and not just present in their lives. That makes sense? I hope you want the same for your family. I hope you want the same in your workplace. I hope you want the same in your faith family. I hope you want the same at your school. Whatever the case may be, that we would see these incredible principles for living and do our best to live them out. The reality is that there's a strong chance that you get it right a lot of times and you get it wrong some of the times as well. So I would encourage you to stop, repent where you need to, recognize the problem, repent, make a plan, and then seek to live that out. But it all goes back to the Word of God. We've read a lot of scripture today. Because I got to tell you, if I give you tips and techniques that don't come from God's Word, they're of no value. The truth and the transformation happens from the Word of God. So today, would you let Proverbs 15 do a little surgery in your life? Would you stop and examine? And maybe for you, you're not struggling, but maybe you're on the receiving end of anger, or you're on the receiving end of someone's mouth that's not proper, or you're on the receiving end of just being around someone you know puts one thing up front but is something else in private. What I would encourage you to do is to maybe take a few moments to come get on your knees and just pray for God's Holy Spirit to work in that person's heart, for the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work, because we want God to do a work in our lives and those around us. That's my prayer for you today. That's my prayer for me. So whether God would lead you to come and unite and be a part of our faith family officially, whether God would lead you to come and say, I want to give my life to him, or if you simply want to get on your knees and say, today, I want kindness to be my reaction for others always. I've been having this problem at work with this one person, so I'm going to try kindness. They're so mean to me, I'm going to try kindness. I'm going to try it for this week. Maybe for others you say, I've been reacting in a certain way or speaking words that are inappropriate, and I want to do that for the glory of the Lord. I want to do that different, so I'll trade that today. Or maybe for others it's simply, I just want to get rid of the impurity that's there. I want to walk humbly before the Lord. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond today? Would you bow with me with our heads bowed and eyes closed? Father God, even in this moment, my prayer is that we would be reminded of your scripture in Proverbs 15. It tells us so much about how we speak, about how we respond, about how we deal with others. It tells us so much about what happens when we have hidden sin but yet try to worship openly and how that is not received by you. Father, my prayer is that every person in this room would stop and recognize in their own life, if there's an area to work on, and if there is, that we would repent, and if there is, that we would not leave and just say, I'll do better, because that does not work, but that we will leave with a plan, that we will seek your scripture and leave with a plan, a strategy to make a difference in our lives. Father, I also believe the scripture where it says it's your kindness that leads people to repentance. You have been the one who has shown us time and time again what grace and kindness looks like. So may we simply who have received it be willing to freely live it and give it. Father, if there's someone here you're calling to be a part of our faith family, Lord, I pray they would respond. If there's someone you're calling to make some other type of decision or who just needs prayer for something, Lord, that we'll just invite everyone to respond to whatever you're saying at this moment. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.